Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
We're still filled with Easter joy, and we share in the joy of our brothers and sisters who were welcomed into the Holy Catholic Church a week ago at the Easter Vigil through the sacraments of initiation. And I was just noticing at the 9 a.m. Mass, which I'm again noticing the same thing, this area up here is a little empty. We're used to having on so many Sundays that these Masses are our OCA folks preparing to become Catholic, joining us and assembled together in the front. So for anyone interested, there's some hot real estate open up here. But now, of course, one of the perks of already being initiated is they get to choose wherever they sit. So hopefully they come back. So, of course, on the second Sunday of Easter, the octave of Easter, the Church gives us an amazing gift, this Divine Mercy Sunday, when we're invited to look directly into the heart of the Father, not in a sort of abstract way, but in a very real way, in a way we can actually see and touch. As we just heard in our gospel on that evening after the resurrection, the disciples are locked in a room, afraid, uncertain, still trying to figure out what's happened and make sense of it. And into that fear, Jesus comes. Jesus comes. He doesn't knock. He doesn't wait for them to be ready. He comes and stands among them and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." But as we read, Thomas isn't there. And so when the others tell him, "We have seen the Lord," he refuses to believe and insists, "Unless I see, unless I touch, I will not believe." And Jesus responds not with anger, but with mercy. A week later, he comes back. He comes back for Thomas. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't shame him. Instead, he keeps his wounds open for him. He shows them his hands, his side, and he invites him to touch his wounds. As Pope Francis said in the homily for this Divine Mercy Sunday, right after he was elected Pope, Jesus meets Thomas with patience. Jesus meets Thomas with patience. He doesn't close the door on him, and rather he waits. He waits and returns. And he allows Thomas to encounter not just proof, but mercy. Mercy with a face. Mercy he can actually touch. And Thomas responds with one of the most profound professions of faith in all of Scripture. "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." It's not just a proposition or something Thomas can kind of intellectualize. Rather, it's an experiential, living faith. He surrenders. Thomas surrenders to a person. That's what mercy does, brothers and sisters, and this gospel shows us that. This gospel is showing us mercy. That it doesn't just solve a doubt for Thomas, it transforms him. And what's interesting on this Sunday, we call Divine Mercy Sunday, the word mercy is almost nowhere to be found in any of the readings for this Sunday. It doesn't appear in the gospel at all, and yet it's everywhere. It's everywhere because it's being revealed to us. Mercy isn't just something God says or something God does. It's who he is. It's who he is. As Pope Francis reminded us so often, Jesus is the face of the Father's mercy. Jesus is the face of the Father's mercy. In our second reading from St. Peter, we read, "In his great mercy, he gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And that's really the key for us, brothers and sisters. It's this passage from St. Peter that it kind of explains mercy now. Mercy isn't just about the past or simply that God forgives our sins, our transgressions. Mercy is that God gives us something new. God gives us something new, a new birth, a living hope, a share in his own resurrection. And that's why it's so fitting this Easter octave, the eighth day of Easter, concludes on Divine Mercy Sunday. It highlights that the resurrection is the ultimate act of mercy for the world. The resurrection is the ultimate act of mercy for the world. In Christ's resurrection, all things are made new. And now Christ invites you and me to share in his own very divine life, in his risen life. Mercy is the new life of the resurrection being poured into our lives. Resurrection of the Lord, and that's what makes it possible now. That's what makes it possible for that mercy. And that's what happens to Thomas, right? Jesus doesn't just correct him, he transforms him. Thomas moves from doubt to faith, from fear to surrender. Thomas experiences this reality, as we heard in St. Peter's letter, a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is, in a sense, reborn in that moment when he encounters the risen Lord and renews his faith, crying out, "My Lord and my God." And that's what mercy does. That's what mercy does. It doesn't just solve a doubt, as in the case of Thomas. It actually transforms. And that's really the heart of Divine Mercy Sunday. When Jesus appeared to St. Faustina Kowalska, the young Polish nun nearly 100 years ago, he gave the church a simple message. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. He also promised something truly extraordinary, something beautiful for this day, for this Divine Mercy Sunday, that if we receive the Holy Eucharist worthily, by making a good confession beforehand and remain in a state of grace, we receive the Holy Eucharist with trust in his divine mercy, we can receive a complete forgiveness of sins and even their punishment, almost like a new baptism, a gift of mercy even greater than what we usually think of with a plenary indulgence. Because here, in this extraordinary grace that is offered to us this Divine Mercy Sunday, here Jesus is inviting us above all to trust in his mercy. To trust in his mercy. And that's the heart of this Divine Mercy Sunday. It's not Jesus, I understand everything. Not Jesus, I have it all together. But Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. That those hands that still bear the marks of the nails are shown to us. And that's why we can trust him, brothers and sisters. That's why we can trust him, because he still bears those wounds. Trust is the doorway to mercy. It's that living, experiential faith that transforms, that transformed Thomas. And it happens through the wounds of Christ. Jesus is risen, glorified, and yet he still bears the marks of those nails. The resurrection doesn't erase the wounds. It transforms them. They become the very place where mercy is revealed. Thomas touches those wounds, and in doing so, he touches mercy itself. This is what Jesus revealed to St. Faustina, that divine mercy flows from his heart, from his wounded side. That it's something poured out. That the resurrection doesn't bypass suffering. It actually brings life into it. That's where the word mercy comes from, the Latin misericordia, meaning a suffering with, to place one's heart into the misery of another. Divine mercy isn't just what has God forgiven, but asking too, where is God trying to give me new life? Where is God trying to give me new life, to give me his own resurrection life? And when we come to the sacrament of confession, it's not just forgiveness of sins, wiping the slate clean. God is actually doing a new act of creation in us, like a second baptism. And this is what's truly extraordinary. St. Thomas Aquinas said, for instance, the conversion of sinners is a greater work of God than the creation of the universe itself. The conversion of a sinner is the greater work of God than the creation of the universe itself. Those words, I absolve you, te absolvo, are actually greater than the words, let there be light. How amazing that we stand before this extraordinary grace. And these forms that we're drawn into through the work of the Holy Trinity. in the sacrament of confession through the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ, who brings us into his own very life of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity that is desiring for us to participate in their own very life. And if we maybe feel like Thomas, maybe have doubts or questions, you know, we want proof, we want control, maybe we feel unworthy, maybe we're carrying a wound, something someone has done to us or something we've done that still feels open. Maybe we think, you know, God can forgive others, but not me, right? Not this sin, not this failure. I've asked too many times and have been forgiven. Maybe we wonder whether God really can forgive, really can heal, really can bring his life into that, any good into that part of my life. And the answer we're given this Divine Mercy Sunday, again, isn't just a proposition. It's a person. It's a person. We see in the gospel, Jesus doesn't wait for Thomas to become perfect. He meets him. He meets him. He stands before him. The risen Jesus stands before you and me. He still has those wounds. He doesn't hide them. He shows them. And he says, this is where my mercy is found. This is where my mercy is found. And then he invites you and me into those wounds. Not to have everything figured out, but to trust. To trust. And often that's where we struggle the most. Pope Francis reminded us, God is waiting for you. If only you have the courage to go to him. God is waiting for you. If only you have the courage to go to him. Not perfection, just courage. To step forward into his mercy. To bring our doubts, our wounds, and to bring our whole life. The courage to say, Jesus, I trust in you. Because mercy isn't something we earn. It's received. And when it's received, it does something extraordinary. It brings new life. It makes all things new. So today, brothers and sisters, let us dare to pray those words given to the church through St. Faustina. Jesus, I trust in you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.